Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. As we settle in for the day, I do have some good news. Ian has been hard at work on the latest season of Ozark, and he is in the thick of it right now. If you have not had a chance to dive into season number 3 of Ozark, it is so good.
Oh, it is awesome. I am just so engulfed in it right now. My whole world is just Ozark. That's all I'm thinking about right now, guys. So I'm so sorry if I'm a little absent today.
Isn't it such a bummer, though, that you said you're on season 3, episode 8 right now?
Yep.
That there's only a couple of episodes left. You're like, man, it is as good as, and maybe my memory is not serving me because this show is probably my favorite to ever be on TV, but I think it's as good as Breaking Bad was.
Oh, I like it better. I like it better than Breaking Bad, believe it or not. Yes. Mm.
Wow, that's strong. That's really strong, because Breaking Bad, obviously, it has like a massive cult following. I think it's pretty good. I'm not too deep into the Ozark season 3 yet, but I mean, obviously, I'm obsessed with season 1 and 2 and Jason Bateman, so.
Yeah, Jason Bateman is just the most charming actor out there, in my opinion. I mean, he is up there with the Robert Downey Jr.'s and the Matthew McConaughey's of the world. I mean, Jason Bateman has the ability to play comedic role so well, but then you see him in this dark role, and it actually does remind me very much of Bryan Cranston, right? I mean, because Bryan Cranston really got his big break as Malcolm in the Middle, you know, and that dad, and then you all of a sudden see him in this dark role, and you're like, oh, that's even so much better. Like, yeah, like you can just really nail both of them. Bateman is just at the peak right now.
How dare you say that's where Bryan Cranston got his takeaway? Now, Bryan Cranston got his big break as the creepy dentist on Seinfeld. I'll have you know.
Okay. Did he, though? Did he?
He did.
His breakthrough role, yes.
Yeah.
His breakthrough role.
His starring role as the creepy dentist, yes. Uh-huh. So some good news and some bad news today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Why don't we start off today's show, Dave, with some bad news?
Some bad news. A Douglas County, Colorado Sheriff's Office is asking the person who picked up a wallet that was dropped to please contact them. And the reason why is because the person that dropped the wallet was a bank robber. And somebody stole the wallet that was from the guy who stole all of the money. So it was about 11:50 a.m. on Monday. A robbery occurred at the U.S. Bank inside of a King Soopers in Castle Pines. And I didn't know what a King Soopers was. I guess they're a grocery store that is mostly big in the Rocky Mountain area. Their parent company is Kroger, but it's a supermarket. So this guy walks in, and it's at a grocery store, but he robs the U.S. Bank that's inside of the grocery store. And he is described as a thin white male with a gray beard. He is wearing a red bandana and sunglasses. Suspect got into a silver sedan parked in the King Soopers parking lot, and it was parked close to the store, so didn't have a whole lot of time to try to chase after the guy. And he did drop his wallet during the robbery, but then somebody picked up the wallet and stole it. So cops are like, we could use a little help. If you found a wallet, you just go ahead and take the money or whatever, but let us know who the robber is. Thanks.
I mean, this is just a series of follies that continue to happen, but I like that the robber got robbed.
Well, yeah, and you know that he is sweating bullets right now. I mean, you've got to be a really stupid bank robber to bring your wallet with you if there is any possibility at all that it could fall out of your pocket.
Yeah, right?
Did you have sweatpants on and it was in the sweats? Like, what are you talking about, man?
That's why you need a fanny pack. That's why you need a fanny pack.
A fanny pack or a chain, It's time to bring it back to the early 90s. And some good news today as well. A local couple purchased a $20,000 bottle of bourbon for $40,000 to help restaurants stay afloat during this time. $40,000 can buy a lot of things. They bought themselves a bottle of bourbon, a generous sum of money that is going to help a well-known local restaurant stay afloat. Suzanne Perry and her husband are owners of Dats, which is a popular restaurant chain. This story originated in Florida, in Tampa Bay. Suzanne said it was just weeks ago when the pandemic really started to elevate and she became worried for her businesses. The Tampa Bay restaurant was forced to cut down to its core staff, but with some valuable collectibles on their shelves, Suzanne and her husband started listing some of their things on the website. We did sell some Remy for about $3,700. We've sold some $1,000 bourbon, said Perry. But the most valuable item of all that was listed was the Pappy Van Winkle 25-year-old bottle of bourbon. And Suzanne did some research online to see how much the bottle was worth. She decided to list it for $20,000. A buyer showed up in a big way with a check for $40,000.
Wow.
Yep. And I don't know who the person is that is going, you know what, I want to pay double for a bottle of Pappy at this point and give you $40,000, but whew, that is a whole lot of money.
And, no kidding.
Good on them, you know. And as a person who, you know, who has consumed Mr. Pappy Van Winkle. Not 25, but not 25, 23. Not worth that price.
Yeah. It's good. It's not that good.
Goodbye. I like your generosity. Show. I like
weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Hey, it's Mahoney, and I have a favor to ask of you right now. If you're listening to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or the Google Play Store or the radio.com app, whatever platform it may be, please go rate us and leave a review. It will help us immensely right now while we're all on home quarantine. We really appreciate it, and thank you guys so much for listening. You're the best.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So the Senate is rushing to try to get another $250 billion bailout for small businesses and for small business owners and even for people that work for small businesses. I imagine they're probably rooting for this to happen. So it is the Paycheck Protection Program. It's quickly become clear that Congress is going to need to provide more funding or this crucial program is going to run dry. That cannot happen. Mitch McConnell is working with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and the Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin to deliver the additional $250 billion in relief for small businesses before the end of this week. So the Paycheck Protection Program aims to help small businesses ensure their employees receive paychecks and that their businesses stay open in the wake of the pandemic. And there's, you know, a lot of politicians that have obviously been talking about this. I do think that that most of them have the greater good in mind here. And, you know, obviously, if these are really unprecedented times, right? And this is a very challenging time for a lot of businesses. But it's much easier to try to maintain, even as expensive as it is, the system as we know it, while we kind of weed through these next few weeks, than to try to fix it if it breaks. And so that's why, you know, it's just like, you're like, man, where are the $2.2 trillion and another $250 billion? Like, it's just so much money. Where is all this money going to really come from at the end of the day? But if the system breaks, it's much more expensive to fix. And that's what you hear from politicians on both sides. So that's not like a partisan thing. That's just economics and trying to figure out how to keep this thing afloat. It's a challenging time, but I like that they're focusing on things like a paycheck protection program, because that is about individuals and small businesses.
See, doesn't that makes me skeptical, though, because any time they name something, it seems like it's the exact opposite of what it really is. You know, like, the Protection of Information Act is really just an information act to spy on you.
The Patriot Act, you're like, wait a minute. Wait a minute, that means that you know everything about me and you can spy on me all you
want.
Right. Yeah.
Get the money to the people. That's the thing. That's what we want. Like, I mean, get the people who are laid off, who are having issues right now, get them their money, the money that you've promised them. You know, like, we need to make sure that America keeps running. And if, you know, the federal stimulus isn't given, you know, like, that's going to be a real
massive
problem for a lot of people. Yeah.
Massive. My friends, I've been talking about them who live up in New York. They just got mandated that they have to pay their rent by the 15th or they're going to start getting late fees attached to their rent payments. So and both of them are jobless right now.
See,
How are they supposed to be able to pay that? How's anybody in the state of New York supposed to be able to pay that?
So that's nuts, right? And like, for example, I mean, obviously I still have a job and my income has been pretty significantly affected by all of this, but I still have a job, thankfully. But my mother-in-law actually suggested this. She's like, you should just call your bank and for your mortgage and just ask them if they will put it into forbearance, meaning that for the next couple of months you don't have to pay while everyone figures out how to get through this. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Actually, why not? Like, a 30-year, certainly, but even if you're on a 15-year, like, what is 15 years and 3 months, you know? Like, everyone's figuring this out. And I literally went on the website, I clicked one thing, filled out a form, and I got a note yesterday. They're like, yep, forbearance, three months, you don't have to pay us anything. And it's not going to get reported to credit as late or anything like that. And I'm like, why not do that, right?
I mean, that's massive.
Yeah,
Is the difference between forbearance and is that at the end of the 3 months it all comes due, or is it just
you just tack
3 more months onto the end
the end of the mortgage.
See, because that's what a lot of renters and people are going through right now is that so, you know, you can't get evicted, you can't do these things, and a lot of places are going, you know what, let's go, you know, we'll defer your rent payments or whatever or not. But in the events where you're deferring your rent payments for 3 months, they're going, okay, well, now you have to pay us all 3 months. by June or July or whatever. And it's still, once again, how can you even pay that if you haven't had a job for 3 months?
Yep. I agree. It's the kind of gotcha politics of it. You know, it's, I would like to, you know, it's different with renters because, you know, obviously they don't have a direct line of communication with their bank. That's the people who own the, whatever, their apartment or their townhouse or wherever they're living, you know, wherever they may be and wherever they're renting from, that's the landlord there does. So that kind of puts them in a tough situation as well. So, you know, there's not one quick fix to fix us all, but I'm glad to hear that you had such a easy dealing with it.
I don't want to say that everyone's going to have that same experience. I just know personally, because I was kind of skeptical, you know, as to how easy it would be. It was as easy as I thought. I didn't even talk to anyone on the phone, none of that stuff. It was literally just fill out a form. I said email was better to contact me, and they just sent me a thing yesterday saying, yep, don't worry about it. This one just got texted over to us at 73100. Is it true that the stimulus package also includes tons of money to a bunch of different organizations and groups that will not benefit the public people?
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, that's unfortunately just kind of how it always works. There's a lot of companies, but it does seem like they're doing a better job this time around with limiting what the big corporations can do. I'll just believe it when I see it, right?
We'll see.
Yeah, of course.
And
the
information's like just not out yet. That's what we don't know, you know, and that's, you know, where we kind of get taken for a ride. And that's the thing that sucks. It's because it's like, well, these are the people who are controlling the money and we are all just peons. And, you know, let's hope we can get through this, you know, because the super rich are buying everything right now. That's for sure.
The not great news that we saw this week is that Donald Trump fired the watchdog that was overseeing the implementation of the $2.2 trillion. And so you're like, oh, that's not great. Why would you fire that
in the middle of this right now?
Of course.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This is not the time to start shifting hands from, like, you're having to go and debrief the whole situation. Oh my gosh.
We know this already, but of course this happened. And you know, allegedly there's going to have to be somebody else who's hired, but what's the recourse if he doesn't?
Yeah, no, he named the guy who's in charge of the EPA, the Sean O'Donnell, to monitor the coronavirus relief efforts. And, you know, I mean, it's such, you know, partisan politics, and it kind of stinks. But
is that the coal guy?
I think so. I don't know. I don't want to say for sure, but I think so. I don't know. So Nike is turning shoe parts into face shields. They announced their factories are pivoting to make full face shields and powering air purifying respirator lenses to help healthcare workers in need. So we heard about Amazon and Tesla and a bunch of other private companies that are stepping up. So Nike is repurposing the collar padding from shoes, cords from apparel like bags and plastic used to make the signature air soles to make face shields. So good on you, Nike. I mean, obviously always been a fan of your product, but this sort of thing, I mean, like Mark Cuban said, this really does define a brand when they themselves go out of their way to try to help during a global pandemic. So
this is in addition to the $15 million that they've already, you know, put out for the COVID relief thing, correct? Okay.
Yeah, and so they actually say that that they're trying to crank out a lot of these different masks for the healthcare professionals. And New Balance also got it in the fast mask making production last week, hoping to make 100,000 a week. So this is it's good stuff all the way around. A lot of companies doing their part to be responsible.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Mr. Farah, I'm following suit and working on this Clan MacGregor whiskey. No wonder your taste buds are burnt out. Yeah, so are mine.
Message deleted.
So he is talking about the Clan MacGregor, not the, it gets confused right now because they've done a lot of marketing for that crappy Conor MacGregor whiskey that's out there right now.
Right.
And that's the proper 12.
Yes.
No, he's talking about the original Clan MacGregor drink that is in a plastic bottle. And it's not good, but yet somehow still better than proper 12.
Did you see, I mean, in this day and age, though, Dave, I mean, with some states and some cities not having liquor stores be considered essential, I feel like anything at this point, it would be considered, you know, like the 25-year-old Pappy Van Winkle that we just heard that got sold for $40,000.
Yeah, I mean, like, that, I mean, obviously is kind of ridiculous and over the top. However, basically anything at this point is acceptable to drink, I think. Whatever you have in the liquor cabinet, even if it's in a plastic bottle, you got to do what you got to do, man.
But not hand sanitizer.
No, man.
That's for your hands. That's for your hands.
Listerine, we're kind of, we're like a week away from Listerine.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So, what's next for the David Mahoney Show? Is this whole thing going to change how the show operates, or are you just going to go back to normal after this? I don't get it. I do have a feeling that Mahoney is just going to stay home the rest of his radio career.
Message deleted.
No, I mean, we've talked about this, and Mahoney, his whole dream has been to stay at home the entire time, and now there's just very little interest in that. But, I mean, to answer your question from my perspective, hopefully nothing changes. I would love to get back to quote-unquote normal as soon as possible.
Yeah, we need to get back to our regular studio just to get there and get things normal once again, just because, you know, I mean, once all this clears over, of course, but I feel like my dream has changed, it's shifted, so I don't want to do, like, every show from home, but I want to do like maybe like a Friday and a Monday from home.
No, I mean right now we're battling your microphone that you can't even figure out how to get right. So
my microphone's fine. What are you talking about?
No, it's not. I can literally hear.
I can hear your air conditioning.
It's not me. You're hearing Ian's.
We're hearing yours because every time that you don't talk, then all of a sudden it kicks on and starts picking up literally everything, including every half breath that you take. And
now,
see, there it goes again. And then you talk, and then it stops. So it's yours. We're literally hearing the inside of your body thinking, and it's disconcerting.
I can hear your lack of gallbladder.
My work is making me turn on the camera during our Zoom conferences. I hope they know I'm not changing my routine for this. My morning Irish coffee will be ever present.
Message deleted.
That's the beauty of it, my man. The morning coffee with a little Bailey's and cream. You used to, you know, get frowned upon if you had that first thing in the morning, and you know, because they smelled alcohol on your breath. You can't smell booze on a Zoom call, can you?
You cannot.
Yeah,
I can.
Can't even smell the booze I got on my breath now, suckers.
Mahoney's microphone is so open that we can smell booze on his breath through it.
You can't smell anything. It's not mine.
Yeah. This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So we got a nice message from Paul, who is a doctor going through everything right now. He said he is really digging this new St. Motel song that we're playing here on X107.5. This is Van Horn, Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, X107.5.
Quote quiz.
Hoo-ah!
With Dave and Mahoney on X107.5.
So the movie quote quiz is Mahoney versus Audrey, and last week I will say that Mahoney got the best of it. Audrey is a self-described not a movie girl, but I mean, you get a competitive advantage here, meaning that you get the opportunity to go first on all of these, and if you're able to just steal these points away from Mahoney, you do.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So let's start it off here and see if you're able to get one that Ian at least has categorized as an easy one today.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, you got this, Audrey.
Open up. It's Santa Claus and it's Elf.
We're not going to hurt you.
No, no. Got some nice presents for you.
Be a good little fella now and open the door.
That's my boy Joe Pesci in Home Alone.
Yeah, look out, Audrey, on the board.
All right.
Yeah.
Why are you guys getting it? That's the easiest movie in the world.
That was pretty easy.
Described as easy. It was easy level.
All right, so I'm going to try another easy one here, and we'll see how you do, okay?
Okay.
Okay, good luck.
You wouldn't know about sleeping sitting up in a hospital room for 2 months holding her hand. Because the doctors could see in your eyes that the terms visiting hours don't apply to you. You don't know about real loss. Because that only occurs when you love something more than you love yourself. I doubt you've ever dared to love anybody that much.
Oh, no. Is that Good Will Hunting?
Yes!
Oh, wow!
2 for 2.
Oh yeah. Okay,
so,
let's go.
Crushing here. All right. So we're gonna go to one that is described as a bit harder. Okay, let's see how you do on this one. All right, here we go.
Will that work? Hey,
that'll work better than the truth.
My advice to you is to start drinking heavily. You better listen to him, Flounder. He's in pre-med.
Oh, there's no way. I don't know. Like Sandlot or something? I know it's not, but it sounds old. I got no clue.
Not even close. Yeah.
I have no clue.
Sandlot. I don't think they were talking about starting to drink early in Sandlot. But Mahoney,
should
have
been. That was a joke. Hard,
to get on the board here, what do you got?
It's Animal House.
Yeah, it's Animal House.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wasn't going to get that.
Audrey 2, Mahoney 1. Here we go.
What do you mean? You're not letting me ring in. You're not scoring it that way.
No, I know.
Here's
Audrey
the thing
gets
is,
the
you
first
probably
crack
gotten
at all
the
of these.
Other two. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't get a shot. Okay.
Yeah. Audrey
I'm
gets
the easiest ones in the world.
Right. No. Audrey gets the competitive
Sheesh.
Advantage.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I sense somebody who's upset that they're down.
Right. Yeah, 2-1. Here we go. Audrey wants to get in the first crack here.
Do you think she's prettier? She's a full-on Monet. What's a Monet? It's like the painting, see? From far away, it's okay, but up close, it's a big old mess. Let's ask a guy. Christian, what do you think of Amber?
Hagsville.
Clueless.
There you go. Yes. Whoa. Audrey okay. coming in with the victory today. Wow. How about that?
Woo. All right. Six in a row.
That's a victory. Yeah, it's three.
Thank you. I would like to take this time to thank all of the people who doubted me, specifically Mahoney. Thank you very much.
I will take this victory. I didn't expect that you'd have a victory speech ready, but that's great that you do. It's really great.
I wrote it in advance.
This one is for you, Mahoney. It's loser.
Uh-huh.
X107.5.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
So normally you'd think the sound of an ice cream truck would get people excited, right? Well, a Boca Raton area man down in Florida came running, not for the frozen treat, but to stop the spread of the coronavirus. He was worried about children in the community and feared the ice cream man was spreading the deadly virus. So he told the driver, a 51-year-old man, to leave the neighborhood. When he merely drove around the block, that's when he stormed into the truck, swore at the driver, and pushed him into a wall, according to witnesses. The ice cream man told authorities that when this man approached his truck, he picked up a tire iron to protect himself. Yeah. However, the guy who was attacking him wrestled it away and then pushed him.
So jeez.
He said he grabbed the tire iron to protect himself and demanded that the man leave the neighborhood. Authorities arrested the man on a charge of burglary with assault. Yesterday, a judge ordered the 39-year-old to remain in jail in lieu of a $10,000 bail.
Maybe he thought the ice cream man bell was a boxing ring. Got confused.
Wanted to throw down.
It's easy to do.
Yeah. What's the other ice cream man song? You know what I'm talking about?
Pop Goes the Weasel? Oh, no. I always hear Pop Goes the Weasel.
Yeah, I always thought it was Pop Goes the Weasel.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know
hear
that was another one.
And I have an ice cream truck guy that comes by my house every single day, and it's always Pop Goes the Weasel.
When I Google ice cream man song, Van Halen pops up. They have a song called the Ice Cream Man song, but that is—I'm pretty sure that's not what they play when they're driving around the neighborhood. This, yeah.
It's like Mario.
It does sound like Mario. There is a YouTube video that has 357,000 views. 357,432 now, thanks to us. And it is 10 hours of that song on loop.
Does it say what the name of that song is?
It doesn't. It just says the official 10 hours of the original ice cream song on loop.
Oh, God. So distorted.
Make it stop.
Can you imagine how awful that would be if you drove an ice cream truck and you just had to listen to that all day, every day?
That's my torture.
The only thing that might be worse is those people that drive, well, they used to at least.
Oh, it's
those
turkey in the straw.
The carts in the airport that are constantly beeping. You know what I'm talking about? Just the beep, beep, beep. You know, just the headache-inducing nonsense. So speaking of Florida, a Florida woman is facing a felony domestic battery charge after allegedly clobbering a man with a can of SpaghettiOs.
Hell yeah. I mean, also, we are, it's hard enough to get our hands on some SpaghettiOs, lady. Why don't you,
chill out on that.
Well, unless they were, go with the Chef Boyardee Italian sausage. You can beat anybody senseless with
anybody.
A can of that because it is garbage. But the original SpaghettiOs, beautiful.
So this was a man and a woman that got into an argument, and when she hit him with the can of SpaghettiOs, left a large laceration on his head. They were sharing a room at the Travel Inn Motel in Fort Pierce. According to the affidavit released by the police, the victim's name was redacted as well as details that prompted the couple's fight. But sure enough, the man told cops that he had sought to de-escalate the situation by gathering some of his belongings and stepping outside of the room where he ended up sitting in a lawn chair. And that's when she came up and flap. With a can of SpaghettiOs. Woo! Ah, man.
Jeez.
That's a doozy. This one.
You could really take somebody out with a can of almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you've ever dropped a can, I doubt you eat as many canned foods as I do. But if you've ever dropped a can on your foot, it's like dropping a brick.
Wait, you regularly? How many times have you done this in your life?
I'm not saying regularly. I have done that before, though. I have had a can slip out, mostly when I'm trying to grab multiple cans. One will fall down, and it has come in contact with my foot, and it felt like a brick hit it.
I can't imagine how awful that would be if that little metal rim like hit right at where your big toe connects to the rest of your foot. You're just like,
Who needs waterboarding when you got that?
You want to get some information out of somebody, just dangle the can of SpaghettiOs, and instead of lowering it closer and closer, just raise it up and be like, oh, this is really going to hurt. Like, I'll tell you everything, man. Tell you everything.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5. This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So this quarantine period for a lot of people is all about napping, isn't it? I mean, it's so nice to be able to just sort of snooze whenever you want. And you know, maybe you don't have anything going on in the afternoon, or you have a morning meeting and then you have a late afternoon meeting. And so there's that nice middle part of the day. But the question that we have for you today is, what is the longest nap that you've taken or the strangest place that you've fallen asleep during the quarantine period? This one got texted over to us at 73100. I'm a healthcare worker and I just nap whenever I can because I'm not lazy like you, Mahoney. But
what are you talking about? Whoa. Lazy? How dare you come at me like that? I have been working a lot.
Christina said it wasn't a strange place. It was just the couch. But what was strange was just taking a nap at 6 p.m. until 9 p.m. Like, who does that? Just a 3-hour nap in the middle of the day.
Oh, I've been my naps have gone from like, you know, 2 to 3 hours to about 5 hours. You know, like we'll get done with everything around noon.
Nap?
And then, like, I'm like, I'll just make my wife's still doing all of her stuff on her video conferencing out in the living room. And I just make my way to the bedroom, shut the door, put in my noise-canceling ear pods, and then just, boom, I'm out. 5 hours. Beautiful.
5 hours. That's not a nap. That's
Jeez,
a sleep,
that's a sleep.
Man.
That is a sleep.
Yeah, that's a nap.
It's a nap.
That's a whole sleep.
Tim said, I fell asleep in the middle of a Mario Party mini game with my 6-year-old. He was like, Dad. And I was like, let me sleep. And I felt a whole lot less like an a-hole when it actually happened than I do rereading it now. Man, that happens to me from time to time. I'll just be so tired, like, you know, late afternoon, and the girls will be downstairs and they'll be kind of playing and they're watching something maybe on TV, and I'm just like, I could just like snooze for like 10 minutes on the couch and it'd be so and then sure enough, just one of them comes over and just kicks me in the face. Just bam. Just like, what is wrong with you, man?
I'm just gonna close my eyes. Just close my eyes for just 1 second.
Mahoney, I think that you'll appreciate this one. This one might actually have won up to you. My husband slept for 6 hours, woke up, took a shower, and then slept for another 12, all within a 24-hour day. So
Hell
18
yeah.
hours of sleeping.
That man is my hero. I mean,
if you're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Put it work like that? That's a pro. That's a pro. Amateurs can't sleep like that.
I can't fathom sleeping for 18 hours in a 24-hour period. Like, respect.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
So what is the longest nap that you've taken during quarantine or the strange places that you've fallen asleep? Saul weighed in here. He said two strange places that I've, quote-unquote, fallen asleep. One on the sidewalk outside of my aunt's house after drinking an entire handle of Jägermeister.
Hell yeah,
Saul. Nice.
And the second one, this is before the quarantine went into place, on the toilet seat at Topgolf after drinking four Golden Monkeys, three shots of Jägermeister, four shots of Fireball, and three IPAs at your guys' anniversary party. So what up, Saul? Always good to hear you, man. This one, Melissa also said, pre-quarantine, I also fell asleep in a weird place in the middle of The Who in concert. My boyfriend at the time was a huge fan and dragged me along. I couldn't care less. Out. And Corey said, for the first time, I'd just taken a series of naps, never actually sleep more than 2 hours at a time. Now it's wake up, make sure I have everything I need for the day. And then I get drunk enough to do the tidy up projects around the house and just sort of try to maintain that. So I used to be more of a napper than even is now, because there is no need to have like structured 2 hour naps. It's just like get up, drink, wander around your house,
kind of
go
exist.
Back to sleep. Yeah.
This one's insane. That, well, two of them are pretty interesting that get sent over to us on our socials, at David Mahoney. My wife slept for 28 hours. In her defense, she does have a bun in the oven. But 28 hours?
She slept.
Does that happen?
Continually for 28
yes,
hours?
28 hours. I'm sure, like, got up to go pee or something.
Is that a coma?
Yeah,
and that just, that's a coma.
That is a hibernation. Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's,
and then
that's,
this one,
that's impressive.
This one too, 3.5 hours, woke up and saw what time it was and then went back to sleep for another 6 hours.
Yes.
Have you guys ever thought that you overslept? I mean, I know you don't nap nearly as much as I do, but sometimes like I'll fall asleep and I'll wake up and I'll look at the clock and it'll be like 6:08 or something like
oh,
that.
Yeah.
I'll be like, oh my God, I'm late for work. And then I'll go, then I realize that's 6:08 p.m., not 6:08 a.m.
Yep. 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 I've done that not too long ago, actually. I fell asleep and woke up at 10, and it was pitch black everywhere. I don't know what I was thinking, but my brain freaked out so bad that I got up, and then I don't know what my first instinct was, to get in the shower, like thinking I was late. But I was like, I got a shower. And then I realized while the water was hitting me, I was like, you dummy. It's night outside.
You are way off. But there is something to be said. I mean, even though you're mad at yourself, you're like, now I get to go back to bed, and that's the best thing ever.
And now I'm clean.
Yep. This one says, lay down on the couch to watch some TV around 8 o'clock. Slept all night on the couch. Got woken up by a wet dog nose in my face about sunrise. Aww. Because it was breakfast time for him. Mm-hmm. And I ain't sleeping through breakfast time. And this one says, last Wednesday, I took a quick nap during our morning conference call. Gotta love the mute button.
This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So what is the longest nap that you've taken during this quarantine period? Or maybe it's just the strange place that you have fallen asleep. This one, pre-quarantine, I fell asleep standing up in formation when I was in the military.
Oh, I've heard that happen.
Yeah, but once the man in the smoky bear hat saw me, he wasn't too happy, to say the least.
Oh, no.
I feel like you get a pass. If you can stand while sleeping simultaneously, like you get a pass on that, right?
I mean, you've heard your grandparents or your parents who have been in the military talk about this before. When you're in the military, you can fall asleep anywhere. Mm-hmm. When you're eating in the chow room, whenever you're in an airplane, flying overseas, you can quite literally fall asleep anywhere. It's pretty impressive.
Standing up is next level, though. I mean, just to have your body has
like a vampire.
Muscle memory. Yeah, kind of.
Nicole said, I have been so exhausted during this time. I am in healthcare and I have 3 kids, so I don't get a whole lot of time to sleep. I fell asleep in the shower the other day. Whoops.
Wow. Like, did you lay down? Were you sitting down? I want to know the logistics of that. But I mean,
right?
I have to imagine, you know, if you are in healthcare and 3 kids on top of that, yeah, that's, oh, I don't think I'll ever work that. One day is probably as hard as I'll work in my entire life combined.
Can we talk about the sit down in the shower move, though, and how great that is from time to time?
Yeah, that's my dream. I want a place to sit in my shower. That's like how I know I'll have made it, you know, is when you have a place to sit in your shower and you can just sit there and let the water just hit you
just
in the face
you.
And just, you know, just
what are you guys
you think about
it's
all
the,
your decisions you've made
it's
all
the
day.
The full-blown degenerate shower.
That sounds terrible, everything about
oh,
it.
Oh, like, it's so great,
you,
though.
Why
oh,
would you
no,
do that?
It's great. Oh, it's great.
Oh, you
nap
monsters. Kelly said, long story short, I witnessed a crime while smoking some weed in my car. I ran back down to the dealer's house. My dealer tried to calm me down, but later in the crime that I saw was committed by his supplier and a police lady accomplice. I then realized I had thrown the roach outside of the car, and the guy would trace it back to me and my dealer, and we couldn't think of anywhere to go since the cops were on it until we decided out of nowhere. We destroyed our phones, and we ran around the woods, and then we fell asleep in the car listening to talk radio, and I slept for 18 hours.
That's Pineapple Express. Nice.
Yeah, Kelly, what is going on here? And then she put a little pineapple on there. So thank you for that one. This one texted over to us at 73100. Took a nap in the physical therapist's office in his stretch chair while my wife was getting her PT session, and I woke up with my back feeling so much better, said Jeremy. Aww.
Do you guys, have you ever fallen asleep in a waiting room? I've had that happen several times over the years.
Waiting room?
I've also fallen asleep in the, when you're waiting to see a doctor, when they take you back. So it's like, you wait in the waiting room, and then they take you back to the, you know, the doctor area, and then you're back there for like 30 minutes. Like, before phones, that was like the worst place all time. Now at least you have your phone, but like, even still, I'm like, can I just lay on this bed? It's right here. You know, it's just asking. Nobody else is laying on it. I feel like I can lay on this thing.
It's got a fresh sheet of paper on it.
Just crinkling underneath your butt.
Stuck to your face when you wake up because you're drooling. Like,
sir, you're not supposed to get underneath the paper and use it as a blanket. What are you doing?
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
I did doze off one time in one of those massage chairs that they have at the mall. Like my wife was shopping. I'm like, I'm just going to sit down and start doing it. Things are comfortable, man. Yeah. I just wish that a nice stranger would have walked by and put another 50 cents in for me, man. Enjoy my nap.
So rude.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Audrey and Mahoney, two questions each. Who of you would win in, one, a physical fight, two, a verbal fight? And there are two different types of fights, but only one of you will come out victorious.
Message deleted.
Well, a physical fight, Mahoney, and a verbal fight, Mahoney. Because I think I would just end up just sitting there after a while.
Yeah, I disagree. I think that a verbal fight, Mahoney would shout you down just because that's what he does. A physical fight, you'd whoop his ass. I mean, you got cardio on your side. You got youth on your side.
I can run from him.
No. He can't take a punch. I mean, you just...
Oh, I can take plenty of punches.
You start beating that body up a little bit, and he's done.
Uh-huh.
You can gas after a minute, Audrey. Don't worry. You got this.
I'll just sit on you. You ain't ready for that.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Did any of you have boyfriends or girlfriends when you were growing up that your parents just hated more than life itself? I mean, I had one for 3 years and my parents could not stand. Like, she would come over for Thanksgiving one year and not one person talked to her. Like, yeah, what a nice family, right?
Message deleted.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, I mean, significant others. My mom, there was this girl that I dated in high school that my mom thought was a bad influence. She wasn't wrong. But yeah, my mom really, really, really strongly disliked her. And then I've had a couple of friends just over the years as well. I mean, have you guys ever just had friends that, I mean, your parents have assigned as the bad influence friend, even though in reality you were probably the bad influence friend?
No, I think I'm a pretty good influence, especially when I was younger. When I was a younger person, I was a much better influence. But I would say the friends that my mom and my dad did not like were spot on now, like later in life, now that we're, you know, like late 30s, and we've seen what we've all, like, you know, the choices that we've made in with our lives over the years. And I would say my mom was pretty spot on about who the losers and who the degenerates were that I probably should have been hanging around with. So
I always had the friends or the friends who are really good with parents. Because that's how they got whatever they wanted or whatever they needed, but was by like milking and like being like, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir. And like almost like purposefully trying to be cool with my parents and they were the worst.
Always. Yeah. The ones that are the best at manipulating were always the ones that were always manipulating. So, yeah.
Oh,
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Please leave a message after the tone.
No one cared about your at-home workout plans before we were quarantined. And I tell you, we sure as hell don't care now. And you know what? I bet you're not even really doing them. Social media is so fake.
Message deleted.
Yeah, y'all aren't doing them. You're just posting them.
I see people who are posting workouts who are doing them, you know. I mean, I don't know how you fake that, but I don't care about anybody else's workout. I really don't, you know. I feel like 90% of those, it's just like hot chicks who dudes are just creeping on anyway. They don't care that you're working out. They're just there to see your ass. You know,
yeah.
If we're going to be honest.
And if we're being honest, I don't mind seeing those videos. If you're like, hey, look at me working out and how fit and how good my butt looks, you're like, well, bravo on all your squats, young lady. That is just impressive.
There is a girl who I follow who was doing an insane workout yesterday. And those people who were fitness people before, I appreciate it. But all of these bloggers and fashion people or whatever who have never ever posted any of this kind of stuff before the quarantine, that's not what I followed you for. I'm not trying to see your TikTok videos of you attempting a workout now. Please stop. That's when it's annoying to me.
Yeah.
When you step outside of your lane.
I'm with Mahoney that if you have a TikTok page, that is just fine for you. But don't take your TikTok videos and put them on Instagram. If I wanted to see your TikTok videos, I would get on TikTok and watch your crap there. Stop cross-pollinating.
I mean, the fact that China has all of that and they have access to basically everything in your phone is pretty horrible in and of itself. But then you take the added creepiness of TikTok. Like, I don't want to see a 45-year-old or a 50-year-old guy on TikTok trying to dance like the 18-year-old girls, man. Like, I don't want to see the 18-year-old girls dance either because that feels creepy as hell. Like, I'm just like, that is why TikTok is not a platform for dudes. Like, I'll stick to Instagram for the dogs. I'll stick to Twitter for the trash talking. And Facebook and, you know, I'll check it once a month for my grandma.
And Pornhub for all your creepy stuff. It's its own little...
Well, yeah,
that's where it goes.
There are lanes. I am like, when I want creepy stuff, I want real creepy stuff. I don't want
tentacles.
I don't want the pseudo creepy stuff where the 20-year-old girl doesn't think she just thinks she's interesting and that, you know, that she's got the most winningest personality in the world, and when in reality it's just that she's wearing no clothes and showing her ass, which, you know, again,
You do you.
That's just not for me. I want to go to the place where they're doing it, where they know what they're doing. You know what I'm saying?
KXTEFM HD1 for Rump, Las Vegas. A radio.com station broadcasting live from the Findlay Chevrolet Studios inside the entertainment capital of the world. This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal. Weight loss tea? It's Bob Trapp!
So, despite the fact that he got divorced and had to give up a huge chunk of his fortune, Jeff Bezos still the richest man in the world. So, he had to give up $36 billion in that divorce to... it's a lot of money to his now ex-wife, Mackenzie. But he is still clocking in at $113 billion. So the total haul for Mackenzie was $36 billion because of the actual divorce cost and then all the stock that he gave her as well. He managed to retain the top spot despite the coronavirus pandemic actually cutting into the number of billionaires that are out there. So that brought the total down to 56 people from last year. In 2020, there's a number of people that used to be billionaires that are no longer billionaires because of everything going on. But as you would imagine, Jeff Bezos and his business actually doing pretty good during this whole coronavirus thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Bill Gates is obviously up there as well, but he has pledged $100 million to help fight COVID-19 via his Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. He managed to gain $1.5 billion in the space of a year, and his worth is $98 billion. And we were talking about this earlier, speaking of people that have a lot of money and are doing good things with it. I mean, $100 million from Bill Gates directly, $100 million from Jeff Bezos directly. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is putting up billions of dollars. But Jack Dorsey, who is the founder of Twitter, He is putting up $1 billion of his personal money. So this is a pretty crazy story. He said that he is basically going to take $1 billion of his personal money, put it towards the COVID-19 relief, and then after that, it's going to go towards the health and education of women specifically, and it's all going to be transparent. He actually put together a Google Doc that's public, so you can go in there and track basically where every single dollar is going. But $1 billion, which is about 30% of his wealth, he's just saying, you know what, just take it, which is unbelievable.
I mean, that is unheard of. I mean, when Jeff Bezos lost 30% of his wealth, it was due to a divorce. Bill Gates has donated quite a bit. He would still be the richest man in the world if he never made a donation to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which is, just spent billions and billions on tons of different projects to improve the world over the years. But a third. I mean, Jack Dorsey is nowhere even in the realm of Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos, and he's donating a billion. That is wild. I mean,
he has about 3.5% or 3% of the wealth of those guys, and yet still he is coming to the table with $1 billion, which is just unbelievable, man. So it's really impressive stuff.
I like that they, I like him. I think Twitter needs some help too. I think that there's still a lot of, propaganda, misinformation, and a lot of these people on Twitter who want to cancel every single person. I don't think it's healthy. But I like what he's doing, man. I do. And hopefully he can set an example to some of the other world's billionaires to open up their checkbooks and be generous in this time of need.
So R. Kelly was trying to get out of jail because of the whole COVID-19 thing, and a judge said, yeah, no, we're going to pass on that. So according to legal docs, the judge said among the several reasons why he is going to not be released out of jail is because he is currently in custody because of the risks that he will flee or attempt to obstruct, threaten, or intimidate prospective witnesses. The defendant has not explained how those risks have changed. So,
Please tell me you've seen Surviving R. Kelly already on Netflix.
No, I haven't watched it yet.
No. You should watch it.
I read pretty much everything you already know.
But definitely hearing it from the survivors' mouths. Oh my gosh, that guy does not need to be getting out of jail anytime soon.
He's a predator. I mean, he's been a predator for his entire life. We've known about this, and it's just unfortunate that finally, when he can stop making the right people money, and he's kind of washed up, that's when he finally faces the music, so to say. And they let out Tekashi 69, and they're keeping R. Kelly in jail. That speaks loudly of how big of a dirtbag R. Kelly is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if Tekashi 69 is going to do much better out of jail. That may have been the thing that was keeping him alive. Who knows?
He's kind of toying with everybody. He's like, y'all need more snitches? Come at me. Like, oh my gosh, man, that's not what you need to be saying right now.
Yeah, he's got a death wish. It's just kind of sad. Joe Exotic is going to be in a follow-up to Tiger King. So Investigation Discovery announced a definitive sequel that will, in fact, feature Joe Exotic. Tiger King captured the attention of the public during everything that's going on, the new documentary will look into whether or not Joe Exotic's rival, Carol Baskins, has anything to do with the disappearance of her husband, Don Lewis. So Carol is, of course, CEO of Big Cat Rescue, has denied any involvement in her husband's disappearance. Everyone that watched Tiger King went, yeah, you did.
You know what?
Yeah, you did.
The way she was just discussing the disappearance was so relaxed. And even whenever they were the laugh was creepy. Even whenever they were showing her, like, the day or week that had happened, the disappearance of her husband, it was just too off. She did.
Did you guys see that? Did you see the meme? I'll show it to you. I know we can't see it on the because we're not broadcasting, but you guys can see me.
It looks like Jeff Lowe. Yeah.
Yeah. Said someone on Facebook said Jeff Lowe is Carol Baskin's first husband. She hired him to frame Joe Exotic, and I can't stop thinking about it.
They look the same.
They do. They look a lot alike.
Carol Baskin, you bitch.
Message to So the new show is going to be called Investigating the Strange World of Joe Exotic, and it promises to show exclusive, never-before-seen footage to reveal secrets that only Joe Exotic knows and showcase skeletons that are hiding within Joe Exotic's hidden past. So,
okay, now I feel like this is a little dramatic.
Nope, I am all on board for this.
I need all the cat people.
All
I need
the Joe
more about
Exotic.
Doc Antle, man. Like, about his
creepo.
Harem. like that weirdo. Like, but he's clearly the smartest and most successful out of all of them. That's the one that I'm the most interested in his.
You saw the Britney Spears "I'm a Slave for You" VMA's performance, right? He provided every animal on that stage.
He loves himself. I would not be surprised if they find Don Lewis's body in his basement.
No.
Oh.
No. He had nothing to do with that. Wow. No.
There is some weird stuff going on with
this. No, that guy's just watching.
Coming up next on the David Mahoney Morning Show.
He's just a groomer. That guy's
he's a groomer.
He is.
Mm-hmm. He's a pedophile. I'm sorry. He hires them when they're 16 and then waits.
Yeah. That's grooming. That's grooming. That's creepy.
He's creepy. Yeah, for sure. He's creepy.
Lazy Bones Mahomes.
Do I have to?
I feel like this lockdown period, Mahoney has really come into his own because finally the example that he has been setting for years is the edict that all of us are supposed to follow. Who would have thought that it would all come to this where everyone is told to stay home and be as lazy as possible? This man has been leading by example for years without even knowing that we would all one day look to him as the bastion of hope and the man that knows if you stay home and you stay lazy, you can save the world.
I mean, this is what I've been preparing my entire life for. I've been telling people about this for years, you know, to work smarter, not harder. And now it has all come to fruition. I am basically a modern day Nostradamus, and you should have been following my teachings all along, Dave.
Yeah, your teachings. Okay, got it. So if you'd like to watch along, we are doing this live as well over on our Facebook page at David Mahoney. And what a treat today. We have got Mahoney's wife joining us live. And by the way, she's wearing a lovely David Mahoney shirt today.
Super soft t-shirt. Yeah.
Erin, thank you for being with us today and giving us a live version for the very first time of Lazy Bones Mahomes. If you could just sort of give us an idea of how Mahoney has been handling the quarantine. Has he, in fact, been training for this for years and thriving in this environment?
So I was thinking when we first were assigned to be working from home, I was thinking, well, this is going to be similar to when we're on a cruise because we're kind of disconnected. It's just a lot of one-on-one time. And I thought, okay, we've got this, no problem. And then I quickly realized this is not like a cruise, or it's more like one of those like poop cruises.
It's a carnival cruise. Yeah.
So it's I found out lots of annoying little things that I didn't know so much about Mahoney. So yeah, it's honestly, it hasn't been that bad, but it's not as good as I thought it was going to be.
Understood. There's certainly some challenges that I think have arose for a handful of couples. Like you said, learning things about your significant other because you do spend so much more time around them. And I mean, Mahoney is truly in his environment here. We're not kidding. I mean, like him just kind of going about his daily life, even during the lockdown, this isn't too much of a departure for him, but it's certainly a huge adjustment for you, right? Because you're used to, you know, going to work and working long hours and not seeing, you know, 12, 15, 17 hours of this every single day. So we have a special quarantine version of Lazy Bones Mahomes. You're going to give us some facts about his incredible laziness during this intentionally lazy time. And all of us are in the dark. So myself, Audrey, and Ian, we have no idea which one is real. We'll just kind of talk amongst ourselves and try to figure this riddle out.
And again, how dare you slander my good name saying that I am lazy. This is all about working efficient, working from home, and setting setting the work week right for the future, man. This is what we are supposed to be about.
Yes.
You know, this is we are blazing a new trail, and I am your leader who's going to nap during most of it.
Fair enough. All right, so here we go. Three facts about Mahoney's incredible laziness. Take it away, Erin.
All right, so fact number one. We know that we cannot trust Mahoney to do grocery shopping during normal times, and this has become especially true during the time of social distancing. Mahoney went shopping a few weeks ago, and it looked like the shopping had been done by a 7-year-old who had been given several $100 and a Four Loko. He came home with Pringles, Pop-Tarts, Bagel Bites, Coca-Cola, and every type of Chef Boyardee possible. He quickly learned that the Italian sausage raviolis are subpar and decided to quit eating a heaping portion that he had made for himself. The problem is, he didn't rinse out the bowl, and instead, He put it on the floor underneath his desk so that it couldn't be seen on camera during one of his virtual happy hours. And there it sat for at least 10 days until I found it with my feet during a birthday Zoom call for Dave's wife.
That sounds pretty believable. We know a lot about the Italian Chef Boyardee and his disdain for it.
This is how Aaron tricks us, because there's so much in there that's accurate, right? So, I mean, this could all be absolutely true except for a little piece of it, because we know that he's been chowing down on the Pop-Tarts because we hear it every day during the show. We know he loves the bagel bites. We know about the Italian Chef Boyardee. So, I mean, there's a lot of truth in that one. That one sounds pretty nice.
This is 10 days. Yep. Yep. Is it 10 days that it was underneath there?
It was not 10 days. She's exaggerating right there. It might have been like 8.5.
Okay.
So that's number one, and I will say that one sounds pretty true at first glance. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, to me too.
Yeah, for sure.
All right,
on to fact number two. Mahoney has been using his preschool quality ingredients to create all sorts of new tasty dishes, including a cheese quesadilla chock full of onions. While I applaud his commitment to staying home and cooking, he hasn't learned the cleaning up part of cooking very well. He recently put the remains of the aforementioned onion down the drain, but he didn't use the garbage disposal or wash it down the drain. It stunk to high heaven by morning, so I ran the garbage disposal and the water, and I lit a candle and placed it in the sink to burn up the onion. He came through a few minutes later to dump out the remains of half-drunk bottles of water. And yes, you heard that right. He is dumping half-drunk bottles of water down the drain. Not sure why. We can ask him about that in a minute. And was startled by the flame and proceeded to dump the water all over the counter, which happened to have a tremendous amount of paper documents that I was working on for work.
Oh no, that one's real.
Come on.
That one's
so
true.
Mahoney, while we discuss this, for the people that are on the stream, they can't hear the rest of us. They can only hear you.
Yeah,
so
I just fixed it.
All right, so cool. So that seems like, I mean, Audrey, what's your take on that one? That one seems like it might be the fake one. I can't say for sure, but I mean,
just because he wouldn't be like putting bottles of water everywhere, right? Like, this isn't signs. Like, he surely isn't just dumping half-drank bottles of water on her documents.
Again, she's exaggerating. She loves to exaggerate the facts of me only drinking a half a bottle. It was like this. I'm drinking that. That's a current one that I'm drinking.
But it could get left. The show is almost over.
This much water in the bottom of a bottle. I'm not trying to drink the spit. That's all just spit and backwash. It's all warm.
Exhibit A. I like how she just busted it. So, I mean, I don't think that, I mean, the whole thing with the bowl and the office, all of that makes a whole lot of sense to me, right? But
yes.
I don't think that the rest of the house gets the same sort of leniency. And so the idea of him just having a bunch of water bottles scattered all over the place, I don't think that would fly. So that one seemed a little fishy.
But what about the onion?
What about the onion?
Yeah.
The onion's an important part. I didn't know that he had put the onion down the drain until I had come out of our bedroom first thing in the morning, and it like knocked me over like a ton of bricks.
Well, on top of that, the she's going to talk about the onion. I spent hours dicing and slicing that onion that we could put
hours?
It into a wonderful dinner that I made her of quesadillas that I cooked in my Brava. So again, you know, everything that I do for her, as Brian Adams
is out of love.
To kind of paraphrase.
Nice. Okay.
And you know, the fact that I'm getting shamed and almost burnt to the ground by a candle. That's who puts a candle inside of the sink.
Somebody who's trying to get stinky onion smell.
Okay.
Out.
Yeah. All right. I'm so confused right now because I see the logic. I can now clearly see this happening.
Yes.
You guys live in the most chaotic house that I've ever even heard of. I love it. So we have one more fact to go. Here we go.
All right. Fact number three. My school did a virtual reading week during the closure to provide our students a sense of normalcy and fun, as spirit weeks are very important to our school community. I asked Mahoney to film himself reading a book in his office and asked him to go set up. He called me down about 10 minutes later to tell me he was ready, and I found him in his normal setup with his backdrop of 50-plus bottles of whiskey, as he has right now. I told him that wasn't a great backdrop for an elementary school story time video, and I asked him if he could quickly move them, and I'd help him move them back after the video. I came back 30 minutes later to find that he hadn't moved the bottles and instead had started playing Borderlands 3. Oh. I just ended up filming myself reading the book on my iPhone in our living room.
Okay. That one is true up until...
Yeah, no, so that one's not true because we saw Mahoney put out the picture with him with his belly button exposed sitting on the couch. So as ridiculous as it is that there is an 8.5 or 10-day-old bowl of ravioli under his desk, that's got to be true.
Yep.
Mahoney dumping water all over important documents because of a candle in a sink due to an onion, all of that, unfortunately, also has to be true. Number three is a fake. Number three is a fake. It's got to be fake. Do we all agree?
Yes.
Three.
Aaron, confirm, are we right?
You are correct.
Yes!
You gross, stinky, falling ravioli boy.
Did refuse to move those bottles. Like, this
well,
is
they're perfectly set.
Up here.
Yeah, they're perfectly set.
How long
set.
It takes to move like 70 bottles of whiskey? Like they are organized perfectly. That's a whole day's work right there. You can't see if you're watching.
Too much effort. Too much effort.
You can't see that those are whiskey. That could be iced tea. You don't know.
It's
whiskey.
Okay. Not appropriate.
This is the Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
For sure, trying to learn that math. Oh my gosh.
Well, thank you to everyone that joined us for the stream. We'll continue here as the show goes on, and especially thank you to you, Aaron. What a nice treat to have you
thank
live on
you,
the air
Aaron.
Yesterday.
Thank
it was
you,
wonderful.
Aaron.
It was great.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So Ahern Hotels here in Las Vegas, there is one of those. It's formerly the Lucky Dragon. So if you've never heard of Ahern, don't worry. But Lucky Dragon is the one that was open for like 4 minutes. It's right next to the Strat. So they're actually doing something really cool right now. First responders across the valley stepping up in a huge way. And really cool yesterday to see all the go blue for Nevada and a bunch of people saying thank you to the first responders and everyone that's in healthcare. But amid everything that's going on right now, they have actually converted this space into a space for first responders. So the first responders are out there on the front lines keeping people safe. She said one of the executives, his name is Lloyd Denson, and we want to make their lives a little bit easier. So he said the property wanted to give first responders a place to talk and grab a bite to eat outside of the vehicles during the pandemic. So the meeting space offers free coffee in addition to the discounted meals. So to keep the first responders staff healthy, tables have been spaced out, hand sanitizer available to use, but meals are available to first responders daily from noon until 9 through the Ahern Cares program. And the property also offers same-day pickup for anyone interested in entrees.
Wow.
Like everything from flank steak to salmon and paninis and everything else. But,
food? You know I'm hungry.
They're hooking first responders up with meals during this time, which is, I think, a very nice show. It's just cool to see the community coming together. And this next story is another example of the community coming together. Clark County has okayed temporary home alcohol delivery. So, whew. We're doing it right.
Hallelujah.
Guys.
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of places. I know Liquor World's doing it. I think our buddy at Top Shelf, he's going to be doing it. Hopefully Corey's will be doing it as well. So, and Liquor Lineup. So, as well as Lee's. So this will alleviate a lot of the, I would say, fear that we had of running out of, our adult beverages. So this should, most of these places are delivering next day. So, I mean, just plan ahead and hit those apps and get that liquor delivered to your door.
So a lot of these places do have apps that you can go ahead and that's how you do the purchasing. You don't have to call or anything
online,
like that.
Yep.
Oh, cool. Okay. Awesome.
Apps or websites. So that way it certainly avoids having to, like you said, call someone right now, because if you're trying to call anyone at this time, it is a nightmare. And that's one of the big complaints right now going on, not just in Las Vegas, but around the country. But the unemployment claims have obviously exploded. And so, I mean, you look at, all of the casinos closing down, and you're talking about around 300,000 people that work for those properties here in Las Vegas. And there is a ton of people that are filing for unemployment. There is a handful of the properties that are still paying their employees and will continue to do so while the lockdown is going on. But Nevada, like most states, provides for 26 weeks of payments with a maximum payment of $469. But the problem is that people can't get through. And Sisolak right now, the governor of the state, says, "I'm aware of the frustration. I hear the anecdotal stories. I know for every person, if you're the one who can't get through, it's a big issue. We do not have the structure in place. I can assure you to process this kind of volume is going to take some time. So he just said, I know it's really hard to hear, but please just try to be patient if you can during this time, because it is just a huge challenge and everyone has the same problem, and trying to solve that for everyone, it's difficult, certainly.
Yeah, but they, you know, luckily there are some things in place, and that we know that we will be able to get help to people as soon as they can. You know, Nevada is it's a smaller state. It is when in the grand scheme of things, but we have a smaller population. We have a smaller, you know, like even local government as compared to a lot of these other places. So the fact that you know, as many people, we are going to probably have the highest, I would say, per capita, the highest unemployment in the nation when this, you know, at least right now, or when we get out of this.
Yeah, I guess it depends if the casino industry bounces back, because we see things kind of jolt back to normal as quickly as possible. And, you know, obviously with, you know, sports potentially coming back, that's a big deal for the city as well. And obviously the NFL coming to town for the first time this year.
Are
all
they
of those
be
things.
Able to play? You know, there's talk of pushing the NFL season back.
Nobody knows, right? And those are the big questions.
Playing games in empty stadiums, that sort of thing, you know.
But strange, for sure.
But I think that one of the things that we will have is that we will get to the bottom of this, and we will get everybody helped. And, you know, I have faith. I do have faith in our leadership in that regard, you know. So it just may take a little longer, you know. Get on the phone, stay on the phone, keep trying to call. It's not going to be an easy thing. It's not going to be like you go online, you click one box, and it's done. As easy as it should be, but unfortunately, that's, you know, this is what we have to deal with by calling them. So that's,
what a pain.
It is a pain.
Smith's is setting new limits on the number of customers in stores. Smith's Food and Drug is using infrared technology to look after customer capacity restrictions, and it's, you know, dozens of stores here in Southern Nevada. So the company announced yesterday that it will limit the number of customers in the store at any time under the new limitation, which takes effect as of now. Stores will restrict the number of customers to one every 120 square feet instead of the normal capacity of one every 60 square feet. So the last couple of times I've been in Smith's, not going to lie, it's been pretty full. It's been pretty packed, and maybe it just so happened the time that I was there. But
time of day.
Yeah, I mean, I normally go to the one in Southwest Las Vegas on Rainbow, and yeah, it's been pretty jammed in there. So I just like the fact that these stores are doing this, so that way people can safely social distance and get their shopping done, which is normally a necessity for them, and get the stuff they need without having to worry about the possibility of not just getting the virus, but also potentially spreading the virus, which is a big concern as well.
I don't know if you guys have some people who live in, you know, other parts of, you know, the United States. I know your family, you know, obviously lives kind of like more in the Midwest side of town, Midwest side of the country. But a lot of grocery stores are actually doing one in, one out right now, and only one person per household. Even if you have a kid in tow, they're trying to tell you that you can't bring your kid with you.
What do you do with your single mom? I don't love that. You know, like you don't need, you know, two adults and 78 kids. But if you've got 78 kids and one adult, that's the world that we live in right now. I got an idea, though, and I think this can specifically help out a decent amount of people who are furloughed or unemployed in Las Vegas from the service industry. Bouncers. We need bouncers at the front of every place. Because, you know, they who needs infrared technology? Just get a little of those little counters. Boom, yeah, in and out. You got a little clipboard.
They're already used to it.
I show a little cleavage. I get in first. You know, hey, win-win for everybody.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show present the Missed Connection Inspection.
So this is a challenging time for a lot of people. They're out there looking for love, and they have to socially distance. And I get it. It's difficult. And that's what the Missed Connection Inspection is all about. Mahoney, we just have Ian go through many, many posts online and look for some Missed Connection Inspection posts that maybe need to be amplified a little bit. You know, people that they're looking for love, and it's a difficult time, and they don't know where else to turn. And so obviously they end up on Craigslist, because why wouldn't you?
Well, you know, normally it's freaks looking to let that freak flag fly. But now I think so many people are, you know, just cooped up at home. They don't want to go out. And now, you know, especially if you aren't already in a relationship or married or whatever you may be, you know, you may be extra lonely at this time. So I think this is the most opportune time to seek out someone else on the old interwebs.
So this is the first one here that we'll start with is definitely, you know, and we've heard a number of stories about people, you know, reconnecting with people that they haven't talked to in a long time because of the whole lockdown and the social distancing. This one is entitled Lady I Hauled Mulch For Two Times Like 10 Years Ago.
Huh.
Hell yeah.
Hey, mulcher lady, remember me, the dude with the maroon full-size F-150 with an open 8-foot bed? Hauled two loads of mulch for you from the landscaping joint. You still owe me some M&M chocolate chips, toots. Not them dang fake Choco Button M&Ms either.
So, especially
what?
When you're
demanding M&Ms 10 years later?
When you are trying to have a, you know, like, because obviously there's little things that, you know, some people will remember, like little details that will, you know, enhance the story and take you back to, especially if something happened 10 years ago. But your maroon 8-foot open bed F-150 is not one of them.
Yeah.
You know,
she's like,
was that an
8-foot
bed or was that a 6-foot bed? I can't. Was that a king cab or was that a full size? I can't remember exactly. You know, that's dude, you're focusing on the wrong thing.
This one's just entitled Strippers, and the whole post is, what are the strippers up to with no work, question mark?
It's a concerned citizen.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a valid question.
I feel like he's fishing with dynamite right there, right? He's just trying to get a stripper to be like, well, I'm out of work right now. I could use some tips.
I mean, if you've got a pole in your house, right? Does that count as If it's a private contractor, is that still allowed, or is stripping everywhere been?
You could do it on your virtual stream. Open up your Cash App, your Venmo.
Get your OnlyFans going, man. Like I'm telling you, that's whenever I get fired, that's where I'm going to immediately.
Oh yeah, you big market for that. Audrey, have you had any friends starting an OnlyFans account that you're aware of? Considering
no, not that I'm aware
of. Right up?
No, because we would roast her.
Yeah,
I would just straight up roast her.
I would just rather
give that person like $50 before they just did that, because that's who you gonna OnlyFans.
If you're listening, shoot your OnlyFans to us at 73100. We will contribute for a month.
Mahoney, stop being so thirsty, man.
I'm not thirsty. I'm just saying we're trying to help small businesses, Dave. That's what we're doing
small
here.
Small businesses.
Small businesses and big butts.
We're trying to bring people together on the internet and to find love, and we're also promoting small businesses. These are unprecedented times, my friend. 73100, OnlyFans.
This one is entitled Pets. You worked almost every time I came in. You had blonde hair and would wear those skinny jeans and had glasses. I would always come in and brag about my tarantula collection, and you would smile and laugh. You disappeared around the time school started. Still go every week to see if you've come back. I always thought you were super attractive. I was just scared to get rejected. If you see this, get a hold of me.
Only tarantula collection that is impressive is the tarantula collection on Animal Crossing.
The Tarantula Island, which I am straight. I found it last night.
8,000
like 38 bells. Tarantulas, balling, straight balling on Animal Crossing.
Only tarantulas.
They don't know nothing about Animal Crossing. Maybe.
how are you going to come at me? You're sitting here bragging about a virtual tarantula collection and soliciting OnlyFans pages.
You know,
Dave,
know.
I'm trying
they
to help small businesses for the show.
You losers.
We pay it forward to our listeners. Oh, you're too good to support our listeners. They support us. They're listening right now. You're too good for that?
Of course I'm not too good to support them, but maybe, I mean, in other ways, as opposed to just giving them $6 to see their butt?
Dave, I'm willing to go as high
as their butt or their Instagram. That's not what we're going to their OnlyFans for.
$13.99 a month.
$13.99 a month?
That's exclusive content, man. Wow.
Yeah. That's right.
Got the premium. We'll
I'm not
your
trying
name.
To pay for that premium Snapchat. No.
Asking them to call you by your Christian name or by your radio name?
Both.
Ah.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So there is a bunch of companies, as we've talked about, that have stepped up big time. We were talking earlier today about how Nike is getting in on it. We know that Apple is building a bunch of protective face masks. The PPE is such a huge thing for people that work in the healthcare industry. And now Xerox plans to mass-produce disposable ventilators. How about that? So Xerox, obviously pretty much every office in the entire world has multiple Xerox machines. They have confirmed to NBC News that it has a deal in place with Vortran Medical, a small medical device manufacturer in California, to scale up the production of the Go-To Vent, which is a low-cost resuscitation device commonly used by first responders in emergencies and disasters. The company aims to produce between 150,000 and 200,000 devices a month wow. by June, and could produce as many as 1 million ventilators in the coming months. So when you think about the numbers, you know, that we've heard around the country with, you know, a couple of hundred ventilators making a huge difference. When you're talking about the ability to scale and go to 1 million a month or 1 million in total, a couple hundred thousand of these a month, I mean, that's enormous. They project to make 40,000 ventilators this month alone. So well done, Xerox. This is a huge deal. And they plan to just charge hospitals about $120 per unit, which is extremely
nothing.
Cheap
yeah.
in the grand scheme of things. And if you think that a $120 unit can save multiple lives, I mean, that is just huge stuff. So well done, Xerox.
I mean, think about it. I mean, if you take that much money and then you look at the $1 billion that Jack Dorsey's going to donate, and, you know, I mean, the federal government has that kind of money. But that Xerox is doing this, that we're seeing a lot of these private companies that are, you know, that have been around for a long time who are stepping up to the plate to do the right thing. I love it. I love hearing that it's not going to be, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to produce these ventilators and they're going to be, you know, $15,000 a pop. You hear these students over at our group over at MIT producing that emergency, you know, the schematics for the emergency ventilator for $100. Now we're hearing about Xerox partnering with a smaller company to produce this for $120. That's great, man. That gives me true hope.
So request to delay mortgage payments jumps by 2,000%. More than 10 million Americans are now jobless and desperately trying to keep the roofs over their heads. That need has resulted in a nearly 2,000% jump in requests to delay mortgage payments as borrowers seek immediate relief amid the pandemic, according to a new survey. According to data released Monday by the Mortgage Bankers Association, forbearance requests grew by over 12, almost 1,300% between the week of March 2nd and March 16th. That number jumped another 2,000%. Between March 16th and March 30th. So there is obviously the CARES Act, which has been passed, which allows for a 3 to 6 month delay in mortgage payments. But at the end of the grace period, borrowers may be required to pay the entire lump sum depending on how it's set up with the bank. So because of this, experts are advising those who can pay their mortgage to do so in the coming months. Otherwise, they might have to pay a much larger amount after the grace period. So the way that it works, from my understanding, with forbearance is that the interest continues to accrue, and depending okay. on what your bank has put into place, that might get pushed to the end of the loan, or you might have to pay the interest portion. But depending on where you are in your mortgage, you know, you might be paying a lot more interest, especially if you've recently bought. In fact, almost all of it might be interest. And so just make sure that you read the fine print on that, because it can be a little bit deceiving depending on what the situation is with your bank. An engineered virus tested on mice offering a hope for a vaccine for the coronavirus. The virus that gives dogs kennel cough but is harmless in humans could be the key to a vaccine against the coronavirus. A team from the University of Iowa tested their new specially engineered virus on mice infected with MERS, which is a virus related to COVID-19. They found that the mice that were given the genetically engineered virus and then infected with the lethal dose of MERS survived the usually deadly infection. So,
wow.
We still have a long way to go on this sort of thing. Got to be real cautious about the idea of saying, hey, they found a vaccine, but they are making some big strides
giant
at a
strides.
Number of labs around the country, and University of Iowa is helping to lead that charge right now. So very, very impressive stuff by that team there.
One of the things that I saw last night on the news, and, you know, they had some doctors on, they were taking questions about this, and then, you know, they're talking about looking for the vaccine, and traditionally vaccines take a long time to produce, and obviously we have a real need to get ahead of this one, but they're, you know, looking for other treatments. And one of the interesting things that they said is that if somebody who has beaten COVID-19 already, you know, if they've recovered and they transfuse blood to somebody who does have it, that that boosts up their antibodies and that they're able to fight it off even better than, you know, obviously it's not a vaccine. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of things that go into play there, seeing that, you know, you have to find somebody who has beaten COVID-19 already, who has the same type of blood as you. But it's interesting that they're finding different ways to help people survive more and more as this epidemic continues to grow.
I am just so thankful that there are so many people that are so much smarter than me that are working on this right now. So thank you to all of you researchers that are working tirelessly day and night to try to cure this thing.
Coming up next on the David Mahoney Morning Show.
Something else that that just broke not too long ago, about 30 minutes ago, is that Bernie Sanders is in fact dropping out of the race for president of the United States. So it looks like Joe Biden is almost certainly going to be the nominee at this point, unless there was some other surprise that just sort of came out of nowhere, like Andrew Cuomo deciding to run. And I don't think so either. It looks like Joe Biden is going to be the.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Going to be the nominee.
Why even wait? Like, why drop out now? Like, if you've already waited like 3 weeks too long.
Well, I mean, because you have to drop out at some point, right? And so now it is official. Yeah, Bernie Sanders.
Money probably ran out.
Yeah, is out of the race.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the David Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I really don't get how people listen to, like, club music in their cars. How do they even find that entertaining? Probably one out of every four Ubers I get in, and the driver is just casually listening to this club music. Like, are people really raging at this time?
Message deleted.
You are so spot on, man. So many Ubers that you get in, and it depends on maybe the time of day. I don't know. I mean, there's only been a couple of instances where, like, midday that's happening. But in the evening, I'll sometimes get an Uber, and it's just...
If it was Sandstorm from Darude, I would be all about it. But it's right. Never Darude
it's never,
Sandstorm.
Never.
It's always some bootleg. Like, where did you even find this music at? Like,
yeah, is this a radio station? Like, who broadcast this?
So in the span of a week once, I was going and going down on the strip for some events, and there was a guy who picked me up three times, and he was playing the same CD over and over again, and I saw him. It was a CD. I know for a fact it was like a mix that he made, and it was all different kinds of, like, house music, but of 70s and 80s songs.
Hell yeah.
That sounds pretty awesome. I'm not mad at that.
He made a mixtape for his passengers, man. He knew what he was doing.
The only thing that would make that better instead of a CD is if it was one of those tapes that connected to an old school disc man that you plugged into and it was playing off of that.
By the way, can we talk about that? What was that tape? You'd put the tape in and it somehow would magically take your CD Walkman and turn it in and convert it into tape. Whatever that converter was, man, that
was
weird
magic.
Black
straight up magic.
The tape with no tape in it was straight up magic.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Mahoney, you son of a bitch. You always talking about ravioli? I know you know what you're talking about. I still think Audrey's a ravioli poser, so I'm placing the blame solely on you. I had 4 cans of beefaroni last night for dinner, and you gave me no warning about how I would feel the next day. I feel like I just gave birth.
Message deleted.
First off,
I am upset.
First off, don't come at me like that because you don't know who you're talking to. Second of all, beefaroni and ravioli are two completely different things. Not even in the same realm of the same pasta. Beefaroni
like
is
beefaroni.
Garbage.
No, beefaroni, I like beefaroni.
Beefaroni compared to ravioli is not even the same. And man, you know what you're going to feel like when it costs $1.10 a can. You're not going to feel
with
like
preservatives.
Yeah, you're not, and it's good until 2025. Yeah. You wonder what what you're gonna feel like.
You're just
seriously.
You're just eating tasty plastic. I mean, like that's all it is. Yeah.
No, it's like, not
like I mean, really. Whenever
plastic.
You're eating those little teeny tiny bits of meat, think about why you're able to eat them in a can.
What can
that's
you buy
why you feel
for,
like crap?
Yeah, what can you buy for a dollar? Think about that. Like you can't
not
eat,
even
like,
a pack of gum anymore.
Like, but the fact that you can get a can of ravioli for $1.10 when it's not on sale. I mean, you know what you're getting. That is a bargain. That you know, that is like a bargain with the devil.
You know what you're
getting, man.
I will say to that gentleman's point about me being a ravioli and pasta I definitely am tired of them. Like, I was gung-ho on the ravioli for, like, a whole week, and then now I don't want anything to do with them. I'm tired of it. It was fun and flirty for a whole week, and I'm done.
I'm a little longer than you, about 2.5 weeks. I'm like, all right, I got a lot of cans here. But if we want to talk about the best ravioli in the world, the best ravioli in the world is from St. Louis, and it's fried ravioli, so toasted ravioli.
Oh, yeah.
So and don't like these imposters that have the cheese toasted. It's Louisa's toasted beef ravioli, the greatest ravioli of all time. I don't know why it's not anywhere else outside of St. Louis, but if you are ever in that region, get it. It will blow your mind.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I'm listening back to the podcast right now, and I'm cracking up, man. And you all saying Post Malone would have been Joe Exotic's next husband.
Message deleted.
Of course he would have. Like that was his calling. Unfortunately, their paths just didn't cross. Like, wouldn't it be great if Post Malone, I mean, not just because he looks like one of the Joe Exotic husbands, but if he actually just fell in love with Joe Exotic because he's so amazing, and then Joe Exotic just had all of the Post Malone money. Like, what a wonderful, entertaining world that would be.
Joe had a thing for turning straight dudes who had drug problems into his husbands who had tattoos.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but those dudes weren't like, just like every hot chick that's married to a 78-year-old oil tycoon. Like, they're not in it because they're attracted to him. They're just doing what they got to do in order to, yeah, exactly, for the drugs.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Carol Baskin, you bitch!
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Keep that one every time, huh?
Never, ever getting tired of that one.
You think Post Malone would have just been with Joe for Bud Light and Olive Garden?
I mean, they're just like the two trashiest dudes that I can't get enough of, man. I love them. What a great couple.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Challenging time for a lot of companies, but we've been talking about this a lot over the past couple of days, that there are a lot of companies that are stepping up and trying to do the right thing during this challenging time. And Walmart is now limiting customers by how many people can be in an aisle at a given time. So Walmart will limit the number of customers allowed inside of the stores and also launch new efforts to keep shoppers moving one way, the company announced. So one thing that obviously you hadn't really thought of up until this point is, you know, when you're going down an aisle and you're going two ways, they're basically just making them all one-way streets, and that way you're able to keep the, you know, 6 feet of space. And yes, it's probably going to be a little bit slower experience when you go shopping, and yes, it might be a little bit frustrating, but this is actually, I think, totally necessary right now. And great to see Walmart, which is obviously one of the biggest retailers in the entire country, stepping up and doing what they can to help people social distance.
Yeah, this is
absolutely
huge. I mean, you know, last time I went to the grocery store was a few weeks ago, and one of my biggest complaints was the fact that, like, you're just coming face to face with somebody, and it's like we could have a much better way of doing this and just trying to avoid contact. You know, I mean, if you're taking all the steps of spraying down all the carts and you're trying to do everything else in the lines, you know, like this is a much needed thing, and good on Walmart for having the foresight to do it. Have you guys? And one of the things that did bug me though, last time I went, somebody did roll right up on my six. They were like, they were right on my ass in line. And I am like, and I thought like the checkout lady was so nice, and I was having, you know, I was like having a nice conversation with her, and I didn't want to just like immediately turn to be like, hey man, what the hell are you doing? Like, you know that we are trying to keep some distance, but I didn't, because I didn't.
My grocery store
like
now has like the spots where you have to stand.
They had that. And they
And this person just totally disregarded it.
They just ignored it.
Yeah, I mean, there's always been a lot of people out there who are just totally oblivious to the rest of the world around them. But now, when considering everything, you're like, hey, man, like, even if you're not worried about your own health, like, that's the thing is, people seem to like get it confused as to whether or not they're being brave by not worrying about this. It's not about that. Like,
it's not bravery.
Ignorance. I could have it and not know, and you getting all up on me could give it to you, who then take it home to your loved ones. Like, it's about respect, and even people that will wear the mask. It's not, you know, when that first started, it was kind of like, you know, the masks probably aren't necessary, and that was coming from a lot of the medical professionals out there. And now it's like, well, no, actually covering your mask, and this is actually a thing that happens in Asia a lot that the American culture has never really experienced, but many people, when I was overseas in Japan many years ago, they'll wear masks in public, not because they're afraid of getting something, but if they're sick, right? If they feel like they're starting to get sick, they'll wear a mask because they want to keep other people from getting sick. So I actually think it's a nice show of respect to other people if you do choose to wear the mask at this point.
Yeah.
And it is well, definitely something where
you could be asymptomatic.
Yep, you bet, for sure.
I do want to get one of those like skull masks, you know, that like cover everything up and be like, yeah, man, I ride.
Yeah, I'm a badass.
I ride. I rode my car to the grocery store.
I ride this rascal up in this bitch.
So the Malaysian government was forced to apologize after its Women Development Department published a series of tips to help deal with the ongoing coronavirus. Tell me what you think about this, Audrey.
Oh, gosh.
One of the tips advised women to continue wearing makeup and to avoid nagging their husbands.
And discuss.
Oh gosh! I mean, I don't even have anything to discuss, guys. I mean, we all heard that and just thought, what the hell, right?
Yeah, like
what
why
in the
don't
world?
We have those guidelines here? Wait, what?
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So, for the first time ever, I have thought to myself, self-driving vehicles are a good idea. I've always thought self-driving vehicles are kind of pointless. There is plenty of people out there that know how to drive. There's a lot of people out there that really like to drive. This time, though, the Mayo Clinic in Florida is using self-driving shuttles to ferry coronavirus tests from one drive-through location in its Jacksonville campus. Four vehicles have been making round trips every day since March 30th in a bid to limit exposure and free up medical staff from having to deliver the test. So healthcare workers place the samples into a secure container, and then it loads it into a van, and that delivers it to be processed. So for the first time, self-driving cars, self-driving vans make a whole lot of sense. Well done putting them to good use.
Holy moly, that is amazing. And you know what, though? Are you going to be nervous driving next to one of those? Do they say self-driving van containing coronavirus tests?
If it's like a whole bunch of coronavirus in this self-driving vehicle, you're like, you know what? I'm gonna take the long way.
Right.
Yeah,
I am firmly against self-driving vehicles for myself, but I love this idea. Like, obviously, this is never something that like we've been through and thinking about things like this, but having a fully automated vehicle that can transport that, I love it. You know, I think this is a great idea. I mean, the technology needs to be dialed in because we can't have this, you know, car full of Corona, a Corona car crash.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we can't have you crashing into my rear end on that one.
A catastrophic Corona car crash. It just sounds like the worst thing ever, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's as far as this goes, this is a really, really good use of it. A group of Czech Republic nudists are being scolded by police officers for not wearing their face masks. They're nudists, hello. Following the reports, some nudists were sunbathing without the protective face mask in a spa resort area. That has gotten the attention of people that are like, hey, man, like, what are you doing? And also, what police officer was flying that drone to realize that the nudists weren't wearing their face masks?
Yeah, man. I mean, just because you're a nudist doesn't mean you get a pass. You don't have to cover your ass, but you cover your face, man.
You don't get a pass for that ass.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought that's what you were going to say.
Luckily, farting doesn't transmit the virus.
It does. Ian said you just got to be really close to someone's face and just fart right on it.
You also have to be naked from the waist down as well, too. Yeah. So these nudists,
they are nudists.
Yeah. So.
All right, I think that'll do it for today.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free. There's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee's silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.